Rapport was just a pattern for me.
Like connecting with people, like just in social situations.
Well, I say building rapport because I know now I wasn't really connecting. I mean, I was. They felt like they were connecting. You know, I'm sure on some level I was connecting, but I wasn't acknowledging it. I wasn't operating from it. Yeah. I had patterns to get what I wanted. You know, social patterns. I felt like a sociopath. Because I didn't really care about the person the way I should care about the person. It was like, let me care enough. Let me do this, say that. Let me, you know, manipulate, essentially.
In order to get what you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it didn't matter if it was a man or a woman, like you were saying.
If I was trying to get
a gig for something.
If I was trying to get a gig, if I was trying to get more money for something, if I was trying to talk myself up to someone and appeal to what they see as exciting and new and interesting,
mm-hmm.
I was just using their language, put on it, you know.
Yeah.
I was an actor worthy of an Oscar.
And you were living life like that on a daily basis.
Fuck yeah. It put on whoever I needed to put on. So I did performances for, you know, college parties, the performances for doctors.
Like when you were working as a magician, you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
And how that also played into your ability to do what you were doing.
Yeah. So as a magician, you're already acting. Because magicians aren't magicians. Magicians are actors acting like magicians.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew how to act. And not just act, I knew how to connect to people, you know, give them an experience. But I wouldn't connect myself to it because it was just a pattern. Let me do this, say this, knock this out. Oh, man, did you see the look on their face? That was great. And then leave. They have the most wonderful memory. Maybe I remember them. Maybe they run into me later somewhere in the town and they're like, oh, my God, I remember you did this. And I still have the coin you did the trick with. And I showed the video to my buddy and he didn't believe you put the quarter in a soda can. He wants to see it live. Can you do it right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. What? Okay, he didn't do it right now, guys. Like, it was just... I was just a delivery system for what I wanted to give the world, you know? And that reaction, the getting caught in public and having people remind me of what I did for them, you know, and the reaction attached to that, the astonishment. I still hold that coin in my purse. I still keep that dollar in my wallet. I haven't thrown away the soda can because I want to figure it out. Like, that stuff, that's an experience. That's what I wanted to give them. And in order to do that, I had to find the right pattern. I had to do it a certain way. I found what worked and I stuck to it.
And tying all that back to like just in day-to-day life, having to interact with people, how and when did you realize when did you realize that you didn't want to just be an actor acting all the time? When did the journey of like, well, who am I? If you're always like pretending to be this, that, and the other, like, who are you really?
After all that, after my fall from grace.
Like when you took a dark spiral.
Yeah, I made a pretty good life for myself doing that. And I guess it started when right after the Tony Parker gig. It started right after that because that was like an amazing show.
I did it with my
Christmas party for him. Yeah, he was still with Eva at the time. It was me, my buddy Chris, and Dave. Dave doesn't perform anymore, and Chris performs at the. He has a running gig at one of the arenas around here. They, like, everyone had somewhere to go, something to do, someone to see, someone to share it with, right? I went back home to my condo. And I was about to put on, Dan and Dave Buck. They're twins. And, I was about to put it on, I grabbed my deck of cards, and then I never hit play. I never hit play, because it was like, Justin, you just left a NBA player's house and entertained him and his guests. You got no one to call. No one to go.
Because you were like...
Come home after this?
Because, yeah, at the time you were kind of like estranged from your family.
Yeah.
You didn't really have any real like solid friends. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a girlfriend. You were true
and
loner.
So I put my cards down, closed my laptop, and I stood out on my balcony and I looked out at the city and I was like, all these people who know me, remember me, they got some great experience in my presence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm alone in my apartment.
Mm.
Yeah. That's when it started. That's for me when, like, I went back to the drugs and the alcohol. I started trying to numb that instead of trying to fill it with something else, you know?
Yeah, things, you reverted to drugs.
Yeah, alcohol. And it wasn't like I went on a drinking binge right away.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, maybe had an extra drink before I left the performance or the venue and, you know. And then on my time off, and it was like, man, I've been in a little bit of a creative rut. I need to let loose. You know, it wasn't just weed anymore. Let's try other stuff. I got to pull an all-nighter. Need to get some cocaine. Uh-huh. Like, why the hell do you need to not sleep? That makes no sense. You know? Just stuff like that. Yeah, and then things slowly got worse. And then I got with a very toxic woman at the time. Just was not good for me. And I could tell, like, at the time, she was just there because we could have fun together.
Fun.
I could go, you know, I could pay for drinks. We can go here. We can party all fucking night. Wake up the next day and do it again, you know?
Yeah.
And we bonded on that level. And it sucked because I remember even that relationship feeling empty and just walking around like, oh, fuck, at least I ain't alone. You know, she's sticking around, whatever, you know? Check that box. And it just, no, and I told myself I wasn't going to run any familiar patterns. I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to match breathing. I wasn't going to anchor emotions in any way at all. I was just going to be. I was just going to talk. And if people didn't like it, oh well. But I was done running patterns. I was done doing that.
Scoot down.
And, I kind of became a little bit of a recluse. And then I noticed myself at the end of a pattern being like, fuck, man. Is it this installed in you? Did you just do it on automatic, man? You know? And I would beat myself up a little bit, so then I stopped talking and I stopped doing certain things. You know? And then I would see it in other people. And I would watch them with that suspect eye, just, you know, what are they running here? Why? What's going on? And it took a long time to just match the two and say, and realize they might be running what you recognize. They
might know what you're running.
You recognize it as a pattern because you've seen it and mm-hmm. you've studied it.
Right.
For these people, it's a way of being,
mm-hmm.
which is what makes them happy, which is why it's so easy, which is why it's automatic. So I was still the same sad, lonely individual.
On the inside.
I just found a way to not be to the world.
To not look it to the world.
Exactly. And just cover it up.
Yeah, just
cover it. And hide behind the magician character I had created.
Or whoever you were pretending to be in that moment, at that event, or, mm-hmm. you know, wherever you were.
And so...
So when did you... How long... Because I feel like now, luckily... because of all the work that you've put into yourself and all the healing you've gone through, are you able to, like, are you ever just, because I feel like you can be fully present and not be running those things,
mm-hmm.
at least with me.
Mm-hmm.
And even certain people that I could see what you were doing, and now maybe you're doing it a little less. Like, how does that feel? Like, can you feel the difference? And are you still, do you think you
I
can
do.
Ever...
I feel the difference. And I think I could get to a point where I don't ever have to do it. But I'm at a point in my life where I'm still sifting through some of the people that don't need to be here much longer.
Like
in
your
my
life,
circle.
You mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to grab it and put it out the window.
That's a pointless alarm, too. I don't need that 9 o'clock alarm. But I do run into situations where people want to be a certain way that's not conducive to the environment we're trying to create. And I have to. I feel like because I know how to change the situation and get through to this person, it's my responsibility to do it. And so I run whatever pattern it takes, get you out of your funk, get you out of being so pessimistic, or, you know, taking...
Pessimistic?
Sorry, stop being so pessimistic and take the... My mouth is tired.
It's still early in the morning.
haven't yawned yet to stretch my mouth. So I have to do it. It's like, oh, you know, you need to run a forgiveness pattern to release some shit. Let's have a conversation real quick. Let me ask you some questions. You know, let me point your mind in a direction that's not a magic trick to you.
You know, it's getting them to perceive or feel or think differently without being so direct and telling them. You do it in an indirect manner. And these things can be, that's why this gift and having all of this knowledge, which is powerful knowledge, especially when it has anything to do with the mind, if you are in a bad place, if you are living from a dark place, then most likely you'll use those gifts and those powers for bad. And you can also use them for good. And now you're using them for good.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently.
I think I was using them for bad as a magician. Maybe
no, not as a pickup artist. Yeah, sorry, my bad. Because this stuff can be applied in a lot of different ways. So in terms of the magic, it was awesome. And it made you even more of a unique and interesting magician overall. But I'm talking about in the just day-to-day world, particularly when it comes to dating and relationships and things like that, that's where this stuff can get people can really use it to do some serious damage on people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be toxic. And that, sure. And I know that there has been a time in your life when you read the pickup artist stuff and then you had been learning all this other stuff. So it just amplified your ability to meet women, connect with them, mm-hmm. and pretty much...
appreciate them at the end.
Ha, ha, ha. As you said in one time, you were like, bed them.
Yeah.
Bed them. It wasn't like you were doing that all the time, but you definitely had
your moments. But this guy never got lucky. This guy wanted to get laid, and you went out and got laid.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. This mm-hmm. guy didn't get lucky. Me and you. It wasn't about luck. Mm-mm. It was just more about skill. Mm-hmm. And then working it on the right type of person.
Mm-hmm. On my type of person. Right. It was whoever I wanted.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. You still got to choose.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy. Well, I think I'm glad that you've know as much as you do, but I'm also glad that you're aware of how you were self-sabotaging,
mm-hmm.
and or like hurting others, yeah. And now you can teach other people and help other people, you know, avoid those individuals or learn how to not be one of those individuals.
Yeah. It gave me a lot of insight into how people, it was my run at doing something and expecting certain results and realizing that unless your heart's in it, you're not going to get the full effect, you know, because sometimes I'd be with a woman in the middle of things. I'd be like, man, I just want to go home now. I don't even want to finish. Like, I've had enough. You know?
Oh, you think you want to sleep with them and really, you make out and you're like, okay, I'm kind of ready to...
Yeah, I'm kind of ready to call it quits. You know, and there'd be nothing wrong with them. They'd be a great person, yeah. Funny, so all that. But you're just like, well... Okay.
You just like, the feeling wasn't there.
I thought I wanted some sex. Now the closer we get, it's not that.
Yeah. Really knowing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Is crucial to really experiencing any kind of joy in life.
Mm-hmm. You have to know yourself, and you have to be okay, learn to be okay being that self everywhere, not just at home.
Mm-mm. Everywhere you go, that you're just the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I didn't realize how difficult that is for people to do, because I understand that throughout my life I've had to wear masks and I've pretended to be one way, and you're a little bit different in front of other people, right? But there was a piece of me that was always the same across the board. And now that I've gotten more to my authentic self and healed a lot of the masks and all these other things that I was projecting and feeling, I'm the same with my family. I'm the same with you.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm on a work project, if I'm doing a wedding, like if I'm hanging out with Delilah, my niece, and you know, I mean, you tell me, I feel like I'm pretty much the same everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think it changes with Delilah, but just because she's a child, you know,
well, yeah,
so just a little bit, it changes a little bit, but yeah, the authenticity is there for sure.
Right. And I think that's what everybody's craving, you know, is authenticity. So mm-hmm. you no longer feeling like you have to run patterns to connect or engage with an individual
mm-hmm.
is a huge reward for all your self-care
mm-hmm.
practices that you've been doing.
Gotta know yourself.
And love.